in wars that have gone by. And talking about, as I mentioned a moment ago, things that we take for granted, I think sometimes we take those people for granted. The ones in the past, the ones in the present. Just yesterday, Matthew and I went up to the cemetery where my grandmother and grandfather and some other family members are buried. We were walking around looking at the headstones, and we saw several there of people who were veterans from World War I, World War II, even some from Korea. And in my mind then, I was just thinking about how much I appreciate those people. And I didn't know any of those, but I thank God for those people and many others like them that have made that sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice, so that I could enjoy the freedom that I've enjoyed in my life. Thank the Lord. And I tell you, folks, I'm just as serious as I can be. It causes my heart a tremendous amount of grief when I see so many people in this free country show such disrespect and contempt for folk in our military. And people who abuse and don't appreciate the freedom that we have because of those people. And I'll say it as I have before. I wish them people go live somewhere else. I don't think they deserve to live in this country if they don't appreciate what we have as a people here and all that people have done so we could enjoy what we have today. Thank God for our freedom. Thank God for the people who have helped us to have this freedom. But most of all, we need to thank the Lord for allowing us to have and keep our freedom. Because ultimately, were it not for the Lord, we wouldn't be a free country. You read in the Bible many times where the Lord allowed someone to come in and take over the nation of Israel and lead those people captive and put them in bondage. If he wanted to, at any point, he could allow someone to come and take from us the freedom that we have here in this country. And I don't know what that may happen one day in the future. But so far, God has allowed us to be a free country, and he's allowed us to maintain that freedom through the years. We need, most of all, to give him the praise and the glory for what he's done for us as a nation. But here's the thing that I want us to think about this morning. I want us to think about the fact, not the possibility or the probability, but the fact that in this free country, in the sweet land of liberty, there are hundreds of thousands of individuals, both lost and saved, who live in bondage. Yes, they are free as citizens of America, but personally, in their individual lives, they are in bondage. There is something or some things that have them held captive right now. All across this great country that we live in, there are people today who are in bondage to drugs, people in bondage to alcohol, people in bondage to pornography, to gambling, some to food, some to some pleasure of this life. Some are in bondage to bitterness, to unforgiveness, to anger, to work, to television, to some form of technology. Over the last, I don't know how many years, we have seen an onslaught of technology like never before in the history of the world. It is amazing, the technology that we have. And for some of that, I'm very grateful. I'm thankful to have a cell phone. It allows me to multitask, as we like to say nowadays. I have people that I need to talk to and get up with all the time. And if I had to just sit at the house and use a landline, I'd never be able to get out and do the other things that I need to do for having to make the phone calls that I have to make every week. So I appreciate the fact that I have a cell phone. And no, I don't ride down the road talking. My truck is paired to my phone. Y'all understand what that means? Bluetooth capability is what I have. Pretty good for a redneck, ain't it? But I appreciate that technology. But here's what I also know. I know that we have abused that. And I know there are people in this country right now that are a slave to some form of technology. They can't go a day, a moment almost, without having to check what's on their phone, what's on Facebook, what's going on. It's amazing. I went into a restaurant this week to eat, and I saw a man and a woman sitting down at a table. Both of them had plates in front of them, and both of them were on a phone. when they could have been talking to one another? Is there any wonder that our families are falling apart, that marriages are going to pieces? There's no communication anymore. People are addicted to technology nowadays. What a shame it is that a husband and wife would rather see what's on Facebook than have a good, sensible conversation with their husband or wife. What a shame. But that's just the world we live in now. People are in bondage to this stuff. They're held captive by greed, by worry, by fear, by anger, by lust, and could just go on and on the list of things that have people held captive. So there are many people in our land today. Yes, they're free as an American, but personally, they're in bondage. Something has them held captive. So what I want to do this morning is preach a very simple message titled Set at Liberty. Set at Liberty. And I want us to look right here once again at Luke chapter 4. In the passage that we read, and there's some things here I want us to see. I see some things in these verses that a person must have. They must have in their lives in order to be set at liberty. If they're ever going to break the yoke of bondage, be delivered from what it is that has them held captive, they must have these things in their lives. And I want to give them to you. Very simple. Nothing that you haven't heard before, I'm sure. But number one, let me say this. If a person has any chance at all, any chance whatsoever of being set at liberty from any kind of bondage, they must have the Savior in their lives. They must have the Savior. They have to have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Take a look once again here with me at verse number 16. The Bible says he talking about Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. That's where he had been raised. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah. So they delivered him or hand to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, it says he found the place where it was written. Now if he found it, that means he was looking for it, right? So he was looking for a specific passage within the book of Isaiah that he wanted to read on this occasion to the people that were in the synagogue. And what he found, the one he was looking for, was Isaiah chapter 61, all of verse 1 and part of verse 2 in that chapter. And that's what you have in verse 18 and verse 19. He reads Isaiah 61, verse 1, and also part of verse number 2. And then look at verse 21. He says, this day is this scripture, the scripture he just read. He says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So you know what the Lord does? On this occasion, when he's given an opportunity to read the Word of God in the synagogue to these people, he looks for Isaiah chapter 61 and he reads to these people a passage of Scripture that describes what he's able to do in the lives of individuals. And he says, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. So this is stuff that the Lord can do for a person, for individuals. And look at what it says there in verse 18 is he's reading from the scripture. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is a prophecy about himself, a prophecy Isaiah made about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he would do and what he's able to do. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That's one. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's another. Look at it, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and here, to set at liberty them that are bruised. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to do these things. What you find in that verse is something the Lord is able to do in a person's life is set them at liberty. If they are a captive, if they're in bondage to whatever it might be, the Lord Jesus Christ can give them liberty. So if a person has any hope or any chance of being set at liberty, they have to have the Savior in their lives, which means if they're lost, that they have to get saved. The only way that you can have the Savior in your life as a lost person is to receive Him as your Savior. Those that do not know Jesus Christ are described in the Bible as being without Christ. They don't have Him in their lives if they've never received Him. So if a person's lost, to have the Savior in their lives, they got to get saved. Maybe everybody here today is saved. I don't know. But if you're not, I can't think of a better time than right here today for you to make Jesus a part of your life, to trust Him as your personal Savior. This applies, I believe, also to saved people. I understand that as saved people, we have Christ living in us, Christ in you. The hope of glory is what Paul says. Christ liveth in me, Paul says. I understand that we got Him with us. But I think sometimes we tend to kind of, as we like to say, push Him to the side or put Him on the back burner, and He's not as much a part of our lives as He needs to be. And this is why, by the way, that many times we get in trouble. It's why we get to a place in our lives where we're in bondage, a place where something takes us captive because we don't allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be in control of our lives. If a person, a saved person, has any hope of deliverance, being delivered from whatever it is that has taken them captive, they got to let Jesus be the Lord of their life. He has to be in control, and they have to lean on Him day by day by day and understand, as the Bible says, as Jesus Himself said, that without me, ye can do nothing. There's no hope of me as a saved man having any victory in my life if I don't understand that without Him, I can do nothing. I got to understand that. But at the same time, I got to realize what Philippians 4:13 says. That's still in the Bible, amen. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do nothing without Him, but I can do whatever I need to do through Him. If I need victory over something in my life, the Lord Jesus Christ can give me victory. So if a person's going to have liberty, if they're going to be set at liberty, they have to have the Savior in their lives. One thing He can do, I want you to realize this morning, if you're struggling with anything, anything has you in bondage, there is hope for you if you'll look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He can help you. But here's a second thing I notice in this passage. Not only must a person have the Savior, but they also have to have the Scripture. They have to have the Scripture. In verse number 16, it says, He came to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and He stood up for to read. Now, what's He standing up to read? He going to read Jack and the Beanstalk, something like that? What's He standing up to read? He's in the synagogue, which for these people would be like their church, okay? And he's there on the Sabbath day, and He's standing up to read. What's He going to read? What does He think these people need to hear on this occasion? Well, He understands that they needed to hear what we all need to hear when we come to church. The Scripture. And that's what He gives them. The book of Isaiah is delivered to him, and he opens the book and he finds the Scripture that he wants to read, and he reads the Scripture to them. It's called Scripture, verse 21. This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. He gives these people the Word of God. And I can tell you, after years of dealing with things in my own personal life, just things, and I know some people think that if you're a preacher, you're above all of it. Well, let me tell you something. I struggle with things just like anybody else in the world. There's things that I have to deal with just like anybody else. If you cut me, I'm going to bleed just like you bleed. And through the years of just dealing with things, my own self and my own life that I needed victory over, and in trying to talk with other people and minister to people that are struggling with things, this is what I know. And there's still so much I don't know, but this is what I do know. There is no man or woman on this earth that will ever have any real and lasting victory apart from the Word of God. If you get away from the Scripture, and the Scripture is not a vital part of your life, you cannot have liberty like you need it. You cannot have it. So if a person is going to have liberty, they must have the Scripture in their lives. They got to read it. They got to study it. They got to search it. They got to meditate on it. They ought to memorize it. I really believe, especially scripture that has to do with whatever your problem is. Whatever it is you might be struggling with, look into the Bible, search the scriptures daily, as it says, and find scripture that applies to your particular problem, to your particular situation, and begin to think about that and meditate on that scripture. If you can't remember it, write it down. Do something. Put it on your phone like we were talking about and let it remind you so that you can read that scripture and just make it a part of your life on a daily basis. And you'll begin to see the Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword help set you free from your bondage. I can promise you the Word of God can do it for you. You need to make sure that the Scripture is in your life every day. I talk to people regular, and this is not trying to be critical or harsh, it's just a fact. But you talk to people, and they'll just drone on and on about what their problem is and how bad it is, and I just can't seem to get the victory over this, can't seem to get the victory over that, and I just can't get free. And then I ask them this many times, not to be hurtful or mean, just asking them to get them to thinking. I'll say, when was the last time you read your Bible? When was the last time you had any serious time with the Lord, where you prayed and you opened up that Word and you let the Word of God begin to do a work in your heart and life? Far too many times I hear people say that it's been a long time since they've been in their Bible. Folks, it's amazing what this book can do for you. But I can tell you it'll do nothing for you if it stays closed and sitting on your coffee table. You got to make the Scripture a part of your life, and it has the power to transform. Here's a verse that you might want to look at sometime. James chapter 1 and verse number 25 there. This is what James calls the Scripture. He calls it the perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty. The Bible is not a book of bondage. A lot of people have that misconception. They think, well, if I get into the Bible and I begin to live according to the Bible, I'm just going to get bound up and I'm not going to have any fun anymore, not going to have any freedom. It's just going to bind me up. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the Scripture is a book of liberty, not a book of bondage. There is no real freedom in the things that people in this world consider to be fun. Real freedom is found within the pages of the Word of God. If you want liberty, you got to go to the Scripture. Two things there, the Savior, the Scripture. Here's another thing. Third thing that a person must have in their lives in order to be set at liberty is the synagogue. The Savior, the Scripture, and the synagogue. When I say the synagogue, I'm talking for us about church. If you want to have liberty in your life, real liberty that last, and you're going to have to make sure that you stay in church. Amen. Have to. The Lord will give you there what you need. Amen? Amen. I'm sure if we had the time, most everybody in here could stand up and testify to a time, probably several times within your life, where you came to church needing something and you got what you needed. Whether me or whoever's up here preaching, but you came here with a need. You were struggling with something. There was just something that was bothering you and hurting you, or you was in bondage, whatever, and you came and you got it. I know, unless y'all lie to me, and I know y'all would never do that, would you? Many of you tell me on your way out, Brother Keith, I needed that today. That's what you tell me. You know what that means? That means that you came here needing something and God gave you what you needed. There's just something about it. When you come to God's house at the appointed time, He has so ordained it that He will give to His people the things that they need. And I've never met any Christian in my life, and I'm telling you the truth, I've never met any Christian in my life that was not faithful to church. And I'm talking here, y'all listen to me, I'm talking about able-bodied people. I'm not talking about people who can't come. I'm talking about able-bodied folk. I've never met any able-bodied Christian in my life who was unfaithful to church or didn't go to church that had any real victory in their life. Never met one, ever. Can't do it. Look at verse 16 again. The Bible says, and he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. And look at this. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as his custom was. You know what that means? That means that he did that regular, is what that means. That was his custom. It's just the way it was for the Lord. When the Sabbath day rolled around, you know where Jesus was going to be? You don't have to wonder. And it's a blessing. I tell you, it is a wonderful blessing to a pastor when you have those members that you know in your heart, you know that unless they're sick or something's going on or out of town on vacation, whatever, that when church time rolls around, they're going to be there. What a blessing that is. But it's not just good for me, okay? It doesn't just do me good. It's important for the people that they be faithful, that they come. And I'm not saying what I'm saying here because I'm trying to guilt trip people into coming to church. That's not the thing. I'm saying this because it's the truth. The truth of the matter is, if you want to have victory in your life, you got to be faithful to church. You got to come. And as you come faithfully and take your place where God intends for you to be, then he'll feed you and he'll give you in your life the truth that you need. Let me show you something here. Look at verse 18. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Now look at this. To preach deliverance to the captives. To preach deliverance to the captives. He says, the Spirit of God's on me. He's anointed me to do these things. And one of those things that he's anointed me to do is to preach deliverance to the captives. You know what the Lord will do if you'll be faithful to come? He'll preach deliverance to you. He'll give you what you need to set you at liberty so you can be free from that bondage. So if you're not in, you need to get in. Maybe some of you need to get in more than you're in. Y'all know what I'm saying? Maybe you're in, but you're just not in as much as you need to be in. Maybe you need to be a little more faithful than you are. Maybe you need to be a whole lot more faithful than you are right now. And listen to me. I'm not getting on to you. I'm not saying this for my benefit. I'm saying this for you. I'm telling you, your life, y'all listening to me, will only be bettered the more faithful you become to church. Your life will only be bettered for that. You need the synagogue in your life. Man, I just don't know. I am so thankful to be able to go to church every week. I really am. What a blessing it is to be able to meet with the Lord's people in the Lord's house. What a blessing. Here's one last thing I want to give you. If you want to be set at liberty, you're going to have the Savior in your life. You're going to have the Scripture in your life. You're going to have the synagogue in your life. And last of all, I want to say you're going to have the Spirit of God in your life. Verse number 18. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord and the anointing go together. The way a person is anointed is by having the Spirit of the Lord on them. That's the way that happens. And every one of us have to have the Holy Spirit of God operating in our life in a powerful way if we're going to have liberty. I do not believe that in my flesh I have the ability to overcome sin. But I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, I can have victory over problems in my life. This is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. Y'all listening? 2 Corinthians 3:17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You want liberty in your life? You have to have the Holy Spirit working. Jesus told his disciples that when the Holy Spirit comes, when he comes, you shall receive power. And I know that's power to be a witness, but I believe the Holy Spirit has power to do all sorts of things in our lives. You read in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, where Paul talks about the power of the Holy Ghost. Verse 19, that same chapter, where he talks about the power of the Spirit of God. I don't have the power, but he does. He does. And if I am filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about being filled and all this nonsense that people say go along with that. I'm talking about genuinely being filled with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit has control of you and has the freedom to work and move, to teach, to guide, to comfort, to convict, to do all that he is intended to do in our lives. When that happens, the Lord can give us victory. I guess the question is this, as we get to thinking about invitation, how bad do you want to be set at liberty? I think some people have kind of got comfortable in their bondage. They've been in this condition for a while. Something's had a hold on them a long time. And they've just got comfortable, just sort of settled down. They remind me of the people of Israel, many of those that got taken into the Babylonian captivity. After that time was gone, when opportunity arose for some of them to be able to go back with Nehemiah and Ezra and go back and do some work on the wall and start rebuilding the temple and all that kind of stuff, you know what a lot of them did? They just decided to stay in Babylon, in the place of bondage. They had opportunity to get free, to be set at liberty and go back to their homeland, but many of them had just got comfortable in Babylon, so they said, no thanks, I believe we'll stay here. And I'm afraid that's where a lot of people are. They just got comfortable in their bondage. But here's what I want you to understand. If you're sick of your bondage, if you're sick of being held captive, and you're willing to do what you need to do, the Lord can set you at liberty. And that process can start today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day and this opportunity to be here in church. Lord, I don't know the heart of any person here, but maybe there's somebody here today that's struggling. Maybe they're in bondage. They've been held captive a long time. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to desire to be set free. And Lord, I pray we would make the conscious choices that we need to make and do the things that we need to do on our part, that we might be set at liberty. We look to you and ask you for your help, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother.
Page number 403.
If there's any decision you need to make today while we're saying you come, if you're here and you're lost, this can be the greatest day of your life. You can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're already saved and you're struggling with something, you can start right now, this day, process of being set at liberty.